Australia's youngest senator thinks her perspective makes her particularly qualified for the job after a surprise win at the election. The 21-year-old has gone from uploading makeup tutorials to sitting in Parliament and chatting policy while playing Minecraft, reaching electorally important younger voters. SBS News spoke to Labor Senator for South Australia, Charlotte Walker.
How did it feel sitting in Senate for the first time?
It was very surreal. So we had sort of all the procedure done by the Governor General. She delivered a speech the Prime Minister wrote, which was really amazing. So to sit there and speak was absolutely surreal. I've been really supported throughout this whole process. And after all of the hard work and campaigning we put in at the federal election, to actually be there in the chamber was, you know, a real honour, truly.
You mentioned support. Has anyone in Labor taken you under their wing, showing you the ropes?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of support from all of my Labor colleagues from both chambers. In particular, though, Senators Karen Grogan and Penny Wong, in particular, my fellow South Australians, have been particularly helpful, you know, helping me learn the ropes, telling me a little bit about what to expect. So, yeah, those two, very helpful. I'm very appreciative of them.
You've identified housing and climate change. Mm-hmm. Do you think the government's doing enough? How would you rate them?
I think the government is doing a good job, and I hope that, you know, that's sort of reflected in our results at the federal election. I think young people recognise that the climate crisis was caused by generations before us. The government recognises that, and, you know, so we're taking a really ambitious agenda to, you know, lower our carbon emissions and increase renewables, because if we don't do something, you know, we're going to be in real trouble. In terms of housing, you know, just prior to the election, it was announced that we're going to be doing 5% deposits on homes. I know, speaking to a lot of young people, that the real issue in getting into home ownership is just being able to save up, you know, usually about 20% deposit. So that 5% deposit is going to, I hope, really actually change lives and, you know, increase home ownership for young people, because up until now, you know, it's definitely been tough.
You mentioned climate change as being a reality. You said it yesterday in your speech. It's just a fact. So how is that? How do you navigate, you know, something like the Labor Party approving the North Shelf project and in terms of, like, doing enough?
I think sort of the principle that the government's taken is we want to be doing what we can about climate change. So, you know, we're increasing renewables. We're doing rebates for batteries and things like that. But it's also about being responsible. We do need to power the nation. So it's about doing it in a practical way that's going to deliver results and, you know, make a difference for climate change, but also understanding that we need to power the nation. So, you know, decisions, you know, do have to be made.
Gen Z and millennials outnumbered boomers at this federal election, but their major parties aren't generally resonating with young voters. How do you hope to do politics differently?
So I think when I first was pre-selected and put my hand up to run as a candidate, something that I thought very early on was the way in which we're communicating policy to young people probably could do with some work. So when I was doing campaign videos, I was really trying to identify trends. I think what we need to do is, instead of trying to get the young people to come to us on policy, we need to go to them. So I think it's the way in which we're communicating with young people, you know, needs to probably adapt a little bit to where young people are so that we are getting through to them. Certainly, I know I have seen what my colleagues are doing on social media. I think we've come leaps and bounds in how we're connecting with young people. So I think that's something we're going to, you know, try and continue throughout the term, is really reviewing what are we doing to make sure that young people know about what the government's doing.
Any tips for your colleagues? There's been some cringe videos.
You know, I actually think overall they're doing a good job, genuinely. I understand that a lot of my colleagues are also, you know, they're passionate about helping young people get into politics, and they do have staff that are, you know, in their 20s. So, you know, speaking to them about what do young people want to see, I think is going to be really helpful. You know, there's always teething issues. I myself, you know, sometimes have tried to replicate trends and it doesn't always work. But I think they're putting in a good crack, and they are genuinely asking young people, what content can I deliver that young people are going to want to watch? So they are, I think, doing a good job. Obviously, you know, it's always a work in progress, but I think we've definitely made progress. Yeah.
Less than 8% of the last parliament was under 40 years old. What value do you think the perspective of a 21-year-old will bring to the debate?
I think it's an understanding of what it's like to be young right now. It's no secret that we're in a world that is rapidly changing around us. I do really appreciate my colleagues in the chamber have life experiences from all over, which I think is really helpful, making sure we've got a diverse caucus that are representing the views of everyone. But I think it's also nice to, you know, be there as a young person to bring that perspective of what young people right now are going through. You know, when we are, you know, drafting new legislation, there's going to be consultation with young people and people of all ages, and it's going to affect in all different ways. But I think making sure we're listening to young people, but, you know, having young people in caucus is a very effective way to make sure that we're representing their views.
As you mentioned, you do have less life experience. Mm. Do you think you are experienced enough for this job?
Yeah, well, I do have 21 years of life experience. I bring my own unique experience. So I grew up in the regions. I got my first job at 14 in a supermarket. There's really no choice out in the country. It's just the way it is. I finished high school, so went to school regionally. I did TAFE as part of school, so learnt a lot about, you know, the land and farming and things like that, which is really helpful from the regions. Then I got a job in the union movement, so I worked closely with workers that were going through problems at work and tried to guide them through it. So I think I have, you know, I have lived a life. Obviously, I am younger than my colleagues, it's no secret, but I've still got my own experiences. And I think that my experience shouldn't be devalued just because of my age.
You speak about those experiences. Is there a particular experience that's shaped some of the issues you want to advocate for? Is there a certain issue you think's not getting enough attention?
So in terms of what I experienced growing up, I grew up regionally, and what I saw, just due to the geographical isolation, was a domestic violence crisis right in front of me. So, you know, I'd see kids missing school because there were fights going on at home, or they had a parent trying to escape the relationship. Also regionally, you know, you can get people that come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, so you've got that added financial pressure making it hard to leave these relationships. So that really... that was when I was in primary school, and I still saw it all throughout my schooling and into my adult life. But seeing that was a real wake-up call. You know, domestic violence is all around us. The government has done some genuinely really great reforms around the areas of domestic violence in terms of, you know, crisis accommodation and support services for victim survivors. But what we need is an attitude change. So we can do funding and investment, but what we really need is to be talking to our friends, our family, our children about the types of people we are and what behaviours we're displaying, because ultimately funding's one piece of it, but without an attitude change, we're not going to be able to fix the crisis.
How would you suggest starting that conversation with a friend? For someone who's watching right now, how do you start that conversation?
Well, by no means am I an expert on this. Something that I have seen is, and it can be awkward, but it needs to be done, particularly among men. If you see your mate make a comment that you know is not acceptable, or joke about how a girl looks or how she walks or what she does for work, you really need to call your friends out. It's awkward, you know, your mates, the guy, you know, it might have just been a friendly joke and there wasn't any bad intention there. But we really need to be calling people out when we see things like this. That's where it starts.
Thank you so much for your time, Charlotte.
Thank you.